Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. And our first scripture is going to be the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 9. Let's start from the verse 8 to give context. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Hallelujah. Second reading, Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's take it together. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. This is a continuation of the nature of the warfare that we are involved. And the nature of the warfare, I started it as a false ally, a slave master, and the adversary. But because of context, I decided to divide them into three. Dealing with the false ally last 3 weeks. So last week's message, the title of last week's message was The War of What? Evil and Wickedness. So today, as part of the nature of the warfare we are dealing with, we are going to look at what we call the war of fear and intimidation. Hallelujah. So today, what we want to look at as the war that the devil is involved, or the nature of the warfare of the devil, is one of the war he is into that is exclusive to only the church and the believer. Hallelujah. We have been dealing with warfare for, I think this is exactly a month. We started the whole issue on warfare. And over the period, the nature of the warfare is what we have been looking at. And it has been revealed through our past two messages that the nature of the warfare is, first of all, a rebellious warfare. And secondly, it's also a warfare of what? Evil and wickedness. Hallelujah. We found out that the nature of the warfare that the devil pursue, they are informs according to what the mission statement which led to his warfare. And we know that the mission statement is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 verse 13 to what? 14. Now you have to understand that warfare by itself, by its nature, has forms and types. If one would look at warfare, it can be carried in forms of what? Ways that a person wants to do it. I believe that recently, somewhere last year, if you recall, a war broke out between US and China, which we called it the trade war. Remember the trade war? So the trade war was a war that was fought where both US and China decided that they are going to crush each other's economy. So they started what we called putting some kind of import cost called tariffs on each other, to the extent that one person took it from 5 to 100% in a space of 1 hour and decided to move on to 200%. 2022, Gaza Israel war. Now you see that one of the warfare that Israel undertook against them was called the warfare of starvation. They block the border. That is the only way through which food can enter Gaza. So they didn't go there to shoot them. They decided to starve them. Then you know that hunger is a very strong weapon. Are you with me? And they starved them. And another thing I heard they did was that they blocked all water source. Now, you see, the thing is, when I looked at the warfare between Israel and then Palestine, I always ask myself, what kind of courage does these Palestinians have to dare to embark on such war? Because this is a country that even what you drink must pass through their side before it comes to you. You are the mercies of them. I don't forget my point. So any attempt, they can use any ways of what? Punishing you. Hallelujah. We know that Europe and Russia is at war. Do you know that? Do you know there's war between Europe and Russia? Oh, you don't know. Yeah. And to some extent, US is also involved. Now, Russia cannot trade in the global market because there are sanctions on them. It's a war. And the sanction was declared because of their invasion of what? Ukraine. So when we talk of warfare, it's not only about when people draw sword and then weapons, like what happened recently between Iran and US and then Israel. That is another expression of war. So if we want to understand what the devil is doing, the nature of the warfare, you have to look at the forms in which what he reveals his warfare. So we found out that one of the forms is a rebellious what? Warfare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So far, we have discovered the war of rebellion and the evil and the war of evil and wickedness. Today, we want to focus on the war of what? Intimidation and what? And fear. Now, before we start this, I want to begin this message by looking at man's status and role in the various warfare, so we can understand why the war of intimidation and fear is exclusive to the believer and the church. Now, you see, from the very onset, when we look at the message concerning there is war in heaven, or there was war in heaven, we found out that we were not in the scene when the war even started. We were far from the whole matter. The war started and concluded in heaven when we were not involved. But somewhere, somehow, our grandfather Adam decided to join the war. A war that has nothing to do with us. He decided to join the war through deception. Are you with me? So we have become active participants in the war, and we have various statuses we have in the warfare. Are you with me? So we have to examine the statuses we have in the various warfare. Then you see where we stand with the warfare of what? Fear and then intimidation. Hallelujah. So when man fell in the Garden of Eden, we all by natural relation to Adam became automatically part of the rebellious, evil and wicked warfare Lucifer and his agent began and are still embarking on against God and his kingdom. The Bible put this into a simple sentence: through one man, sin entered the world. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12. As long as you are born into this very natural world, you are born into a realm, a world, a place where by natural relation, you are an active participant in the war. So you are a proxy to the war by birth. I hope you understand the word proxy. So you are a proxy to the war by birth. So you can now upgrade your status as you grow. I'm going to show that to you. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because of all, because all sinned. Now, in reality, the sin in the world that Paul made it clear, in this reality of sin in the world that Paul made it clear to us in this very scripture, we will find out that the very natural born man by nature has the inward rebellion and outward practice of living apart from God. That is what sin is. The simple definition of what sin. The reason why you become a proxy to the world is that by natural birth, the very thing that your grandfather did, which took up a different nature, made you a person who, by inward response, already rebelling against God. And as time goes on, that inward rebellion in you will manifest itself in expression, an outward expression. And therefore, whenever we talk about sin, sin simply means an inward rebellion and an outward practice of living apart from God. Every human born on this earth is born with the mindset and the mentality that they can do without God. And I'm going to show you how we will put that into place. And that is how we become proxy to the war and then grow into active participants by status in the warfare. Are we on the same page? So we cannot talk about this warfare exclusive of sin. Do you get it? Exclusive of what? Sin. Hallelujah. Now let's take the first aspect of the definition of the sin I mentioned here. The inward rebellion of sin. This inward rebellion refers to the heart's tendency to resist God's rule, prefer self-rule, pride, unbelief, and independence from Him. Now, this inward rebellion, which is the nature that we have received, what it does, every natural man born has this tendency, number one, to resist God's rule. Number two, prefer self-rule. Now, I always say this to you, that if you look at it, even a little child that is born today does not even want you to do certain things for him or her. That is how serious this thing is. A little child that is born today will sometimes resist you. He wants to decide what they want what to do. I noticed something that my son, Malto, the only word that is not in his dictionary is stop. Anything you tell him, he'll hear. But when you say stop, it is like you have told him, do it more. It's the tendency we are talking about here, the inward rebellion that is in us. Every human being doesn't want, he wants self-rule. And you see, pride. Pride is, I can do it by my heart, by myself. And then you see another, independence from him. So you see, man at every given instance is trying to make sure that he's far from God, drawing far from God. Now, Jeremiah gave a description of the tendency of this heart to act. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things. And desperately what? Wicked. Who what? Knows it. Now the thing is, the condition of the heart, nobody knows it. It's a tendency. Are you following me? We got it from our grandfather by natural relations with him. Nobody knows it. That's why I said it is what? Inward what? Rebellion. So you see, people are wicked, but it takes certain things to when we come there, it takes certain things to bring that wickedness out. That's why last week I was talking about it. I said that wickedness is a condition, according to scriptures, it's a condition of the heart. So God does not declare you wicked because you have done something. You already have it as a condition on you, and your heart is desperately what? Wicked. Are we on the same page? So it is from this condition we become allies with the devil to build and contribute our quota to advance the cause of the world. You see, how we know that we are inward rebellious against God is that we contribute our quota to the building and the advancement of the world. How? Lust of the eyes. How? Lust of the flesh. How? Pride of life. So you see, you don't need to be wicked. You see, if you, as you are here, you're one of the ways to show that you are inwardly rebelling against God. If God has taught, it's the Egyptian system that will teach you that it doesn't matter where you are, you work. Money is the most important thing, as I said the other time. If some of you remember, One of our sisters came to give a testimony about how she had an opportunity to work in a company here in Ghana whose idea is to promote LGBT. As at the time she came to give this testimony, we were at Pilma. So we are talking about 4 years ago. As at that time, they were willing to pay her an average salary of 10,000 Ghana cedis. You check 4 years ago. And somebody, a first degree student, basic net salary at 10,000 Ghana cedis. Please, your father, how much is he earning? Now, you see, when that inward rebellion is in you, what you will do is that you don't even care. You just, it's the thing is, God has no place here. I'm busy. We are busy building Egypt, making Egypt what? Famous. Cosmos. So that inward rebellion, for you to know, you see, so when we said you participate in a war, you see, it's not about you saying that Nyamoya Abua. No. You don't need to insult God. There are things you do that shows that you are against God. Recently, when there was a public lecture or public engagement by the parliament on the matter of the human family rights, and then what is the name of the bill? Family rights, aka anti-LGBT bill. Let's stick to that. The family rights bill, a particular woman, I don't know which cause or where she belongs to, came to make a statement that they should be very careful in how the law is being handled so that it doesn't affect donors to their civil. She thinks that she is trying to help people in a civil pursuit. We are caring for people, but doesn't know that that is a pure revelation of inward rebellion. Are you following the picture I'm painting here? So we all contribute our quota to advance this system. That's how we become allies. So the allies we become is that inward rebellion in us to stay far from God. And when we are staying far, we find somebody to join hands with. So that loose living, which you call the school life, which you say everybody is doing it, that loose living. See, sometimes the way you dress and you walk out is just a language to speak to God. When man became naked, God in his wisdom was covered man in Genesis chapter 3. Do you remember that story? The Bible said when man sinned, he became naked. The nakedness over here, talking of the nakedness of shame. Now we have shameless generation. The way you join the rebellion, just your appearance can tell us that, oh God, we are shameless of you. See, when man became naked, the Bible said, and God, they sew, even man sew a fig leaf, but the fig leaf was not enough to cover him. God has to cause a sacrifice. We don't know which animal that was killed in that garden there, but an animal died because of that. And the Bible said that God took the skin of the animal and made a covering for man, that man will not be what? Naked. Let's take it in literal terms. But what the Bible was talking about was not a literal term in terms of nakedness. It was talking about the man being exposed. The light in man is dead. And man being exposed to the realities of what he has become. Take it in literal terms. It means that God expects us to be people who are covered. Modesty. Today, look at what we do. We dress in a way to tell God that we have no shame. We are shameless beings. You can't shame the shameless. So we have cropped tops. Now ladies come out without bras. Wear transparent dresses that their nipples will come out. Make themselves as much as they can uncovered. As a way to tell God that the provision of covering, literally, physically, we are rejecting you. You see, appearance speaks a lot too. You see, let me tell you this. Daddy Joe said made a statement that sat so well with me, that the state of a person's mind is not far from the appearance. That statement has sat with me so much in many things I do, that when I see people, I don't need to even pray. When I look at the appearance, I can tell by appearance condition of the head, the mind. And the Bible said that as a man thinketh, so is what? He is. So if the state of your mind could not speak to you, bring to your conscience that that appearance you are taking outside is speaking loudly, that you have said to God that you cannot be ashamed of your nakedness. That is the condition you have said. You have rejected God's what? Covering. God's intervention for your life. So sometimes even addressing the load. You see, the thing is, the way the devil pushes it, it's that's what we talk, the loose living on. It's subtle. Everybody is doing it. It's life. It's this. That's what the Bible speaks of, modest dressing. Oh, hallelujah. So, the inward rebellion is revealed in many things that we do. You don't need to do evil to be part of this warfare. You just have to allow that inward rebellion that is kicking you, the heart, the condition that kicking you, to just show some few. That inward rebellion, when we bring it to the aspect of Babylon, is serious. When we bring it to Babylon, it's a different thing. How people are desperately building empires. Many Christians don't believe that you can win by righteousness. You see, God will bless you. That is truth. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said that for the lamb that was slain, to him is given what? Blessing, honor, glory, power, all these things. All these things is what he has secured for us, is for us. So every believer, by hook or crook, as long as you stay aligned with God, or every man, as God's blessing upon us. Now, let me take the believer from the whole equation. Let me put it on man. The Genesis chapter 1 act that God did, that he blessed them. Let me tell you the truth. No man is cursed though. According to what God has done, okay? Curses come on us as a result of what we do. Naturally. That's why you see that when a person, the reason why we resolve spiritual conflict is because when a curse is activated by a person, it only becomes an iniquity that the devil has a legal way to pass it through us. When we shut down iniquity, that iniquity, it hasn't anything on us. That's why you have something to call family blessings. Do you know family blessings? In some family, they live long. If you enter that family, when they announce funeral, it is 102, 96. The youngest who died recently is 80 years. And that one, they are weeping that he died young. It's a blessing. Long life. When you go to some family, when it comes to prosperity, naturally, some people, they are so brilliant. If you go to the Bush family, you see that these people, they are born to lead. It is obvious. Are you with me? See, there are some people, you don't compete with them in classroom. It is their blessing to... 4.0 is their blessing, naturally. God gave them head. So you see, those things that God... You see, God never created anybody cursed from the womb. Everybody was blessed with talents and gifts to come into this earth and to be what? A blessing. So naturally, God has blessed everybody to do well. But in that rebellion state, we will rather choose a way that has nothing to do with God to attain that blessing. So people who are talented with their voice, which they could have used it in edification of God, have decided that they will yield it to the devil to sing songs that would cause people to rebel against God. And in that, they can receive what? Blessing. Have you ever seen any secular artist showing forth anything beyond material blessing as their achievement? Have you seen it before? Nothing. So that's what the inward blessing does. Therefore, with this inward blessing, what is our status? Our first status in this war is allies of the devil, who by nature are already disposed to be used by the devil to rebel against God and to strengthen his will. It is by this status we become enemies of God. So the first, how we become enemies of God is by that inward rebellion. That inward rebellion is what the devil leverage on to make us his allies. So when everybody is born, as I said, when we are born natural, we are all prosix to what? To the warfare. So what the devil does is that he comes, you see, the devil does not own anybody. And let me tell you, do you know why God will judge everybody? It affects you, the devil does not do it. He only comes to deceive you. He knows that there is a nature in you, as I said the other time, that the devil took advantage of the desire in man to be God because God put it there. Because he created us in his image and likeness. So the desire to become him was there. But the devil just exploited that desire in different way to get man out of God's will and plant a different nature in him. Are we on the same page? Do you get my point now? So the reason why God will judge you for the things you do is not because you can't put it on the devil. You can tell us it is the devil, fine, we accept it. But before God, it is you. Do you get the point? So the way we become enemies of God is because we have allowed that nature, inward rebellion in us, to be aligned to the desires of what the devil. We become allies with him. So when somebody is born, he's born innocent. Then you see what the person is growing, conscience, the dispensation of conscience. The person enter into a dispensation of conscience. When you are young, we begin to work on your conscience that this is wrong and right. See, conscience is about evil and right. Then you see the person will come to the exposure of what? The law. So we tell you that by law. So when all these things are done and you still choose to do things against God, it's your choice. James chapter 4 verse 4. Listen to what the Bible says. So everybody let me tell you, none of us here can say that in our growing we have not by our inward rebellion done something towards against God. That's what I said, all have sinned. So the first status we all attain is enemies of God through ally. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world, as I said, ally, is what? Enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. He didn't say the believer or unbeliever. He said any human being who have decided to make friends with the world. And the world we are talking about here, we are talking about cosmos. The last of the eyes, the last of the flesh, and the pride of life. So if all that you do, your life is so... See, you are friends. You are comfortable. You make friends with loose living. You see, the things that God will judge us is not only the things that we do. That's why I see a believer cannot cry against sin. You are a friend of it. We endorse it. So no matter how, so the first way the devil we get part of this warfare is when we make friends with the world, ally. So you remember now you understand what I said, a false what? Ally. So we become an ally, and then we become enemies of what? Of God. Hallelujah. When we become born again, we have to by all effort love not the world. If we do so, we are still choosing to be allies of the devil and an enemy. Being born again does not shield you from being an ally. You see, at first, it was so easy because of the nature you have. Now you are born again, that nature is abolished in your spirit. But the effect which is in the soul, which is your flesh, can cause you to sometimes what? Align with the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must make sure that we do. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 said, love not the world or the things in them. He that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now let's go to the aspect of sin where it has to do with the outward practice of it. Now this one is the inward what? Rebellion. So in the inward rebellion, it is in the heart. Nobody, she said, no one knows it. Okay. So you think that, this person is a good person. No. You check very well. There is something you are doing. That is a revelation of your rebellion. And you being friends of what? The world. Being an enemy of what? God. So our first status in the warfare is allies with the system of rebellion. Number two, let's go to the outward practice of sin. The outward practice of sin refers to the actions that flow from the inner condition, such as sinful words, deeds, injustice, selfishness, immorality, and disobedience. That is what Mark chapter 7 verse 21 to 23 made clear to us. Now, that condition of the heart, the wickedness in the heart, that inward rebellion that is silently manifest in your alliance with the devil, we see it also as an act of what? Practice. Do you know what? The Bible is very careful with even the words we use. The Bible says, let your words be seasoned. Let no profane words come out of what? These things are evidence of what? That rebellious nature in you. So, evil and wickedness is the manifestation of the inward what? Corruption. The inward what? Rebellion. Now, it takes continuous alliance to that inward rebellion to be able to bring out this outward what? Practice. Now, let's look at the outward practice well. At this point, the individual's true deception has yielded fully to the nature of sin, which has become a slave to it. So when you are growing as a young child, the devil will be deceiving you small, small. Let me use that word. The devil will be deceiving you, and see that you begin to align to sin. You know, some of us, when we were young and we started school, we didn't know a lot of things. True of us. Huh? So when you went to school, that friend told you, oh, we are John. John boy, approach her. Like, are you following me? Then they'll push you, Paul. Have they pushed you towards her before? Go and talk to her. Hallelujah. So the systems are created around us to explore us. So through deception, we begin to respond to that inward rebellion. Then the manifestation is that we begin to yield to that sinful nature calling on us. So the kind of predominant sin in the territory you find yourself, you are likely to show forth physically. You see, when you see people doing certain things, find out when they were growing up, what sin was predominant in the area they grew up. When somebody smokes, check when he or she was young, growing up between the young age of the time of birth to 15 years, what was predominant in the area the person was growing up. The outward manifestation of the nature of sin is as a result of that deceitfulness of that environment. That is, you see, the environment, the world, making inference. When you find a lady who is into sleeping around, most of them, they are exposed as early as 10, 11, 12 years. The ages. Oh, you are looking at me as if when you were in GHS, they didn't give you a boyfriend and a girlfriend. We all had some. Your sitting partner, and we'll be teasing you with a person. Your school, you didn't go for gala. Oh, the bees. Okay. Those who are not the bees, the God of the bee. Hallelujah. Go for gala, football, those things, you understand? The things that happen over there. So loku. Pastor, let me move on. So the exposure, the deceitfulness, so you see that somebody becomes makes practice of a sin. So you have a first taste of alcohol, first taste of stealing, first taste of lying. See, that's why you have to be very careful what you do in front of your children. No? If you tell your young child, you are training that child. You are training that child on how to lie. That inward rebellion, corruption in that child will teach the child later on. When you smoke and you drop the cigarette, you are telling the child that, oh, this is also good. So every kind of dominant sin in your life is as a result of the environment you grew in. Check. If you didn't grow in an environment that drinks, you not drink. As I sit here, alcohol can never take me. Not because I'm even born again. It was not something that was around me. My father doesn't drink. My mom doesn't drink. So where are you getting that from? But those of you that your parents, ebu thought it didn't fufu no. Ebu didi, thank you. But those who are so active in drinking. So the inner corruption will come out as a practice, predominant as an environment you find yourself. What happens is that as they practice this sin, the sin enslaves them. They become slaves of what? Of that sin. So see, the slave of sin is an act of sin that takes hold of you that you can't stop. See, not everybody cannot control themselves sexually. I tell you, there are some people, you can put them and a woman in a room. She's If you like put Paul and a lady in a room, nothing will happen. Hey, Paul, they say they are not sure of you. But in truth, there are people that because of the environment they grew in and the way things were done over there, they don't have that kind of disposure. They don't have that exposure in them. They can stand. Not because they are anointed, but they were raised in the environment. But there are some of you, even at 10 miles, we have to grow you. Because the movies you were watching when you were young, the songs that were sung to you when you were young, the games that you were playing when you were young, Papa and Mama, I can wait. Help, hallelujah. You see, your sex were all introduced at that young age. The reason why you are struggling now, you were young. Hallelujah. If I'm going somewhere, right? The manifestation is that rebellious nature and the deception of the world, the environment, gives us a way to start acting in it and then become slaves of it. Same gives people have become slaves of it toward the devil to become what? A captive of the devil, doing the desires of the devil, who is their tax master. Now, when the devil becomes your tax master, the Bible or God calls him your father. John chapter 8, 44. Now, it is out of this weak slave or being slave to sin and captive of the devil that you become a predominant evil person called wicked. So, for a man to look at a young lady and say, if I don't sleep with you, I will not help you. That person didn't start that day. When he was young, Papa and Mami exposed him to it. The movies he was watching, the songs he was listening to, he grew it, went to the senior high school. And you know, one of the places that really, really is a dangerous ground for people is the senior high school now. Let me see senior high school. As a young guy, in the same thought, or you are oriented by the environment around you that women are toys, sex toys. So it is in the senior high school you learn about sexy girls, sexy lady, you are sexy. Everything that you see about your colleagues are seated in the classroom there has to do with how their shape looks like. So the lady friends you chose were the ones who were beautiful to your eyes, two of us. You see, today God has caught you. That is an outward practice. See, the environment is deceiving you, so you see. So those things were all orienting you, they were building you, yielding you. So you see, you start to do one evil after prep. Whilst they were chasing you, corner one sister. Those of you who were in the mixed school, raise up your hand. Hey, that's science lab. I was a compound prefect, so I know what I'm talking about. Do you know? You go and catch your school father. You are finished. When you see your school father, you run for your life. Because if he finds out that you have discovered, the beatings you take for the rest of your semester. Oh, hallelujah. So we are trained over this. You see, that man that stands there and said, if I don't sleep with you, I'll not give you the job. Started from that place. He was oriented that you, as you stand there, the only thing you are good for is sex. You are a sex toy. So he has become slave of that thought, slave of that expression. So every listing he gets, the devil will use him to do that wickedness of destroying a young lady's future. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 8, are we there? Verse 44. John 8 verse 44. Alright, let's read. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want what? Do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he's a liar and the father of what? Of it. When sin enslaves you, and releases you as a slave to the devil as a captive. When you become a captive of the devil, what you do is that you become a tool for the manifestation of his character, which is evil and wickedness. The moment you become a person who brings forth evil and wickedness, God sees you as a child of what? The devil. He's now your tax master. That's your father. He's the one parenting you. So even though the devil didn't give birth to you because he doesn't own anybody, he can become your father by parenting. And what is parenting? Teaching you how to execute your wickedness and evil. Are you on the same page? So we grow into the war of wickedness and evil as a result of being slaves and captives. That's our status. So anytime you see anybody involved in wickedness and evil, that person is not just an ally to a system. He's now you see, to the world, you are an ally. To the devil, you are a captive. Even though the world system is supervised by him, built by man and him, supervised by him, when it comes to his own personal agenda, him as the devil, when you come there, you help him advance his own cause, personal interest, as what? A captive is your master there. And how does he become your captive? He legally follows the ways of how sin arrests you, makes slaves of you, and bring you out to him. Are we all there? Okay, let's move on. These desires of the devil is revealed in how he governs this world. From his throne of iniquity flows the desires of evil and wickedness, which his captives bring to light through an outward deed. At this point, the Bible describes such person of being of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. When you were born by your father and mother, you were never the devil. You know, there is a statement that one of our senior house mistress made in Apam, Miss Blake. I believe Elder Abu remember this. When you come to form one, you are angels. When you get to form two, you become devil. Now when you get to form three, you are Satan himself. He was talking to a group of ladies who were troublesome. Said, you people, when you come to school, form one, you are angels. That is the truth. Everybody is born innocent, clean slate. But the time sin, the deception in you, will work you out. You get to a point where you are not far from the devil. That's how God sees you, what you are doing. He who sin is of what? Simple. Outward manifestation of that rebellious nature in you. The one we all see. So you are not born to devil. You gradually enter that status by your rebellious nature in you. Amen. Therefore, in the war of evil and wickedness, God sees you just as he sees the devil, because of the character resemblance in the deeds and works. In the war of, you see, so in the rebellious war, okay, God sees you as an enemy, because the world is an enemy to God. But in the war of evil and wickedness, God sees you as the devil, because of your character resemblance. Because of your character out. Resemblance. He that sin is of the devil. Simple. Hallelujah. Amen. You have become as though the devil's incarnate, but man is not his incarnate. When we say the devil's incarnate, man is never the devil's incarnate. That's why salvation can be attained by every man. When we became, if man has become the devil's incarnate, like, nobody can be saved. A devil's incarnate simply means that it is your complete, you are the completing. You are everything of the devil is in you. But no, it's just that we have just taken up certain things that reveals completely his character. So you look as though he's incarnate, but you're not his health. He's incarnate. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Now, let's move into it. So now you've understood the two status. Every man that is born of man or woman, one way or the other, reveals these statuses in the warfare. Now, so until Jesus came to the scene or came to our rescue, this has been the plight of all humanity. We have become enemies of God in rebellion, instigated through deception of the devil, slaves of sin, and captives of the devil in executing evil and wickedness. So from the day Adam sinned till Jesus came, the plight of all humanity is that we have become enemies of God through deception, in rebellion towards God. We have become slaves of sin, captives of what? The devil. And this is what has been the plight of humanity. Hallelujah. The only way out of this situation for man is death. Now, when you are born naturally into this world, because of this proxy to be part of the war, the only way you can, you are not part of the war anymore. The only way you retire out of this war, you are declared out of this war, you are not part of the war anymore, is death. Are you following me? Amen? Okay. When you die, sin loses hold of you. The nature of rebellion has no power anymore. And captivity of Lucifer in doing his desires comes to an end. Anybody who dies physically, the devil cannot use the person anymore. Why? Because the person is no more in this world. Sin and all this rebellious thing are only possible in this, as I told you, God only gave the devil this place as the only place to what? Express his what? His rebellion. So anybody who dies is free. Romans 6:7. For he who has died has been free from what? Sin. So the plight that man found himself in, but as a result of that sin, the only way out is death. The only way out is what? But here's the case. Physical death only rescues you from the presence of sin, and not the penalty of sin, neither the power of sin. Now, the Bible says, for the wages of what? Sin is what? Is death. So every sin that we are committing, the inward rebellion, the outward manifestation of that rebellion at the end of the day, Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is what? Is death. So when a man dies physically, he's only rescued from what? The presence. When we talk of presence, it means that sin is no more in that territory to have effect on you. A ghost has no power to sin. Because in his territory over there, sin does not dominate. Are we on the same page? Do you get it? So you are only rescued from the presence, but the penalty, you will face it. Which is what? Eternal condemnation. So the only way out until Jesus came is that man will die physically. So when a person dies physically, that is where anything about the devil and everything of him, you are free from it. But that is not, it is not a good solution for you. Because by the time you die, you have activated some few things, you have done certain things, and the penalty is what? Waiting for you. Are you with me? Now let's move on. When Jesus came in to rescue us, we were rescued not only from the presence of sin. Jesus came to rescue the humanity from both the power and the penalty of sin. So when Jesus came to die, the death and resurrection of Jesus, first of all, rescued us from what? The presence of sin. That's what the Bible says, we shall receive a new body. A new what? Body shall be given unto us. He rescued us from the power of sin, that sin cannot have dominion over us anymore. And then the penalty of sin was what? Paid for. Now, what happens is that now, we that had the inward rebellion nature righteousness of God has been planted in what? In our heart. 1 John chapter 3 verse 7. So you find out that when Jesus came on earth, the first thing he taught in prayer was that we should cry for thy kingdom come. The current kingdom that humanity was living under, that kingdom of darkness, has put humanity to a plight. And that plight is that humanity became part of a war, and that they are being used, they are slaves, and they are just advancing a war. Are we all on the same page? So as we are advancing the war, we keep on engaging in the war. It is not in our nature to do that. God didn't create us for that. So we started crying, thy kingdom come. Let another kingdom come to our rescue. And this manifestation was done when Jesus came on the scene. Now, what happens? Now, when a person becomes born again, the implication is that a person is dead to world. And when a person dies, the person is automatically relieved from every conditions of this world that binds him. So in Galatians chapter 3, Paul said that I was done through baptism of water. When you are baptized by immersion, it implies that you are dead to the world under the devil, and you are born into the kingdom of God. Simple. Are you following where we are going to? You are baptized in water. What happens is that you give, do you know why we give certificate in baptism? Do you know why? Do you know that if somebody dies and you take the persons to the mortuary, and we have what you call birth and death registry in this country. What they do is that they issue certificate to prove that this person does no more exist. His everything is what? Out. So on with that death certificate, if the person has a bank account or anything, it will be with that death certificate. You can go as what? The one who is the successor or inheritor or whatever to make claims of them. I didn't know this until my father passed on. Then I found out that, those birth and death registry, I thought they were useless. Until my father passed on, I found out that they're not useless. So when we baptize you, the reason why we give you certificate physically is to let you to go and present it to the devil. That Lucifer, you and your agents and your environment, today I have died. I'm dead. There's nothing of you anymore. So water baptism, the essence of water baptism is simple. To tell you, or to tell the world. That's why in those days when somebody is born again, the first thing they do is to mess you in water. To give certificate, physical evidence to what has happened to you. So how we die to this world and not become part and proxies of the devil anymore by natural relation is being born again. And water baptism symbolize it. Hallelujah. What this means to the devil is that, listen, he cannot by any legal means have you to participate in his war. Hence, our status, which used to be rebels in the world, slaves of sin, and captives of the devil, changes into kings and priests of the Most High. So the reason why I said we have to go through the statuses that we have in the warfare is because I want to let you know that now, when you are born again, you are not a slave of sin. You are not a captive of the devil. You are not an enemy of God anymore. You are now what? A king and a priest. And kings and priests do not follow command of another king. Because kings also have dominion. They have a place they ought to rule over. So the moment anybody see, that is why the death of Jesus was one of the biggest things that has happened to the kingdom of darkness. That was, if they had knew, they wouldn't have crucified. If the devil had knew, he would let Jesus to be crucified. Because that is what has caused him. He was enjoying total peace, ruling, until Jesus came to die. Now he has given room for people to die without not dying physically. People just get up, lift up their hands, make a declaration, immersed in water, and then they are gone. Their names are deleted from his list. They started losing members. So there are a lot of dead lists on his table over there. You know why in resolving spiritual conflict, we can say that today we take a pen and we cancel our name in our family, in the family register, our family register, natural registers. So today that altar in that family. Do you know why the altars in your father's family cannot touch you anymore? Because the day you were baptized, announcement was made to them that this person is no longer part of the list. Take the name off. So I'm here, natural altar from my family. If you have not been baptized in water, do it. It's a model of deliverance. It's just not an ordinance. It's a model of what? Deliverance. An evidence statement. So the certificate is issued. Now the devil. So he has to do something. Hallelujah. Now, what happens is that when the people, he loses them, their status changes. The status means something so serious to the devil. What does he mean? Our new status as kings and priests now makes us fierce opponent of the devil. At first, you are an ally. At first, you are his captive. Now, suddenly, you have become an what? An opponent. That is how the believer has become to him right now. People who used to be his captives have now attained a status where they face him squarely and deal with him. So it is like our sisters, our elder sisters, who were 5-6 years older than us. When we were young, they used to knock our head. They used to slap us. They used to intimidate us. Just like Francisca used to do to Fafa. Now, if she's a woman, she'll try. Yes. Now, you see, brother. Now, if she's working with him, if you don't take care, someone will say, is that your husband? Yes. That's how you have come to the devil. That which you used to knock. The other day, my big sister saw me. She's 8 years older than me. In fact, she actually... Let me say, she was my nanny. So she used to bully me a lot. Last time we went and I was standing with her. She was trying to stretch her hand to reach my hand. I said, look at this one. The one I used to carry at my back. Today, look at. So you two. I want to say, you try. He will throw you with his finger. That's why we have come to the devil now. He used to bully us, used to teach us lessons. Then suddenly, something happened. Now we are the ones who stand to face him squarely and teach him lesson. Oh. So as kings, we now represent the kingdom he's fighting against in his present world. So that it does change from being slaves and fighting, we became kings. What that does put on us, impute to us, is that we are now representation of the kingdom he rebelled against. That kingdom that he fought ever. Now one house. But I'll build my church and then die with him. He has experienced those days right in his face. The defeat is suffered in heaven, right on earth, through the preaching of the gospel and the demon. So this king sits at his doorsteps and they are doing havoc to him. Hallelujah. As priests, they now represent creation by bringing the message of reconciliation to all creation, rescuing them from his grips and bringing restoration to what he loves to destroy. So, before the gospel got to some places, the devil used the river over there to kill people. Are you with me? He uses the things, the element around them to deal with them. But suddenly, some people have come up. They are called priests. What they do is that they come and tell that you are reconciled. You cannot be used to do this anymore. So now, that river that they used to kill people, now if they go, it doesn't work. Why? Somebody has. Oh, you didn't know. Like by this time, your hometown, that river, they have used it to finish you. So now you hear that now all the rivers are not powerful now. Say that Galamsey has taken over the rivers. No, before the Galamsey came, the gospel went there. And that what the devil used to destroy, use it to do his things, by the grace of God, priests have stepped in. And these priests have what? Cause a reconciliation, so he cannot have access to them. Hallelujah. So the only effective way to make sure that these people do not continue on this destruction of his kingdom is to stop them through intimidation and fear. So not everybody that the devil comes to intimidate and use fear on, it is those who are kings and priests. And the reason why he comes after them in this kind of warfare is because you are causing too much distraction to his kingdom. Are we on the same page now? So now you understand why the war of intimidation and fear is exclusive to us. Our first reason. First, this fear intimidation is to roar like a lion, but he's not a lion. And we are going to look at how this roar is done. Understand as a believer. You have a personal adversary, and I'm going to explain that to you. Hallelujah. The roar is to terrify prey. Whenever a lion roars, is it one animal? Okay. See, that roar will be terrible. Prey will become what? Loose. Will not become, cannot be able to what? Attack. So now, the only way it is to roar like a lion. The enemy uses that, and the roar is like this: fear, anxiety, threats, and pressure to shake your confidence. Do you know why the lion is careful of an elephant? No matter how he roars, he can't shake the confidence of an elephant. Yeah. When the Bible says resist the devil, it's because he roars. Whenever he roars, he's to shake your confidence. Confidence is everything. I don't know if you have, because of time, I'll give you some examples. If I ever seen deliverance, pray for people, deliverance before, you understand what I'm saying here. The devil is good at shaking confidence. When you are for the person, you begin to say things that to belittle you. Yo, that is a, now let's, the role is to create before attack. No amount of attack can the devil leverage against the believer who has the confidence. And what is the confidence? Our confidence is in the Lord. So when the devil is able to shake that, therefore, the roar is to create the panic, as I said. This is his first and most lethal weapon he releases when he wants to attack the believer. So the war of fear and intimidation is practically to make sure that the king priest cannot have confidence to act. Are you following me? You see, as you sit here, one of your responsibilities, your key job, is to be advancing the kingdom of God. You see, the Lucifer has held them captive. You rescue them. You always enforce his defeat. Are you following me? So when you go to a place and you see Lucifer over there, then you tell the people, ah, this guy, he's defeated, or he has been beaten. Let me show you how we do it. Then by the power of God. So do you know why we deliverance, healing, miracles, all those things is to enforce the defeat of the devil. So we go to a place and we see that the devil is oppressing people, oppressing that territory by the power of God and the preaching of the gospel, we enforce his defeat. We remind him that he's, oh, you're a sore loser. The only way to stop you from doing that to him is to intimidate you, is to put some fear in you, shake your confidence, make sure that you don't have the confidence to stand. So the nature of the war we are dealing with as believers goes beyond just being allies. No. It is a war where it is a matter of whether you have confidence or not. Amen. Amen. Okay. As an adversary, one thing you have to understand is this. The devil deals with the believer as an adversary and not a captive. They are two different things. You see, I've heard when Christians used to say that, why is it that these things happen to a believer, but the unbelievers doesn't happen to them? The difference is this. The devil deals with you as an adversary, not a captive. When somebody is not born again, the person is already captive. Are you following me? Now let me explain this to you. An adversary is anyone on the other side of a competition or a conflict. When we say you are an adversary, we are talking about an or any person on the other side. That word other side means opponent. Somebody who is equal, capable, or even more capable than you, deal with you. That's an adversary. A captive is anybody that is under your total dominance and influence. You own the person. You can do what you like to the person. Don't expect the devil to treat you equally with an unbeliever. It can never happen. When the devil strikes you, he will strike you so hard that you know that indeed you are competitors. The first rule of competition is simple. Eliminate your competitor. That is the first rule of competition. Have you watched Champions League before? How many of you watch Champions League? If you want to understand what I'm talking about, look at what Pep Guardiola is doing to Arteta. That is what we call pure adversary. Arteta was a young man with black hair until he decided to coach Arsenal. In 2 years, he's having gray hairs all over. Yeah. The rule of competition, adversary, is eliminate your competitor. There's no mercy. Are you following me? So if we are playing as opponents, let me give you, you can see. Recently, I think last year, I watched a video of Arsenal playing against West Ham. An attack that Partey gave to Kudus. I said, Jesus Christ, are they not playing for Black Stars? At that moment, Partey didn't see his brother. He saw an adversary, an opponent, somebody who is standing in the way between what he wants to achieve. You're looking at me. I want you to understand the picture I'm painting here. He simply treats you with. He sees you as a go to his next stage when he hits you. Because the rule of competition is that eliminate what? Your competitor. So now the adversary, it is a serious term that you have to take it serious. Those of you watch football, that's what I'm showing you. In the game of competition, haven't you competed before? Because you want to be first in the class and there's an award for that reward. When you are even learning, the things that you know is possible, because when your friend can be teaching the wrong thing. Competition is evil. Yeah. Is it today God is exposing all people have been doing? So that's the picture I want you to see. So many believers, hey, why is the devil talking to the believer? Why did this happen to you? Why is this happening to me? The truth of the matter is simple. You are in competition. You have an option. The most important goal is eliminate your odds. So anything that Lucifer makes you, that's what the devil will do. He shakes confidence and get a chance to attack you. The way he will hit you, cover. Oh, look at what just really happened to Abraham, the man of God. You think how believers has that happened to them? And people can be very wicked and evil and they'll die peacefully. Our children will live. But even if he lost his two sons, the image is strong when he bring your 33. So you are in a pain. That is why I'm born again. So yes, when I was in the world, I used to get this. But your father will serve you. It's your father. It is the responsibility of the devil to make sure you are doing well. A stone fall from it. So, the devil who parents you, who provides for you. You see, the people who are weak, you see how the devil provides for them. Is that a vow? Or you denounce your father? You reject your father. He said, no, you are no more my father. He said, oh, you know you are in my world. I will show you Pepe. That is the day you became born again. Hell broke loose. It's to make sure that you will never have the peace of mind to deal with him. Because you are now a competitor. What we say with the belief? No. If you like, don't be, you'll be fine. But if you want to be born again, this order. Now listen to what they said. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill the cripple. And they warned them and everything. They were doing things. And then the council and the elders of that time saw that, see, the Bible said, a lot of crowd begin to believe in them. And they begin to win a lot of people. Now when they saw that this will take away their shine, the only means is to lead towards competitor. Let me give you 5 ways how the devil will feel to shake your confidence. So let me show you how he roars at you. Number one, the devil roar through threats about the future. The enemy tries great fear about what may be tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. First, or one of the ways we hear him, the threat of the future. Do you know why many people have left the pulpit to go and see greener pastures? You try and serve God. How many of you have tried to serve God? How is it like? I'm okay, everything is fine with you. Are you still belonging to them? As long as you are yet, that taking away your peace of today. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for about its own. Sufficient is what? Day. Sufficient for the day is what? Its own what? Trouble.
Princess, you know what? What's the view of somebody's life, how he entered the same road? You see, I'll do this out. Then one day, you open your eyes. Do you have a house? Do you have a car? So that sister, I think she's going to marry you. In this, you look at how she walks. Look at the things on her. You, all you have is your Bible. Ask the father-in-law of this pastor Nathan Ebasi. He said, "What does he have said?" He looks and said, "Guy, trumpet!" When the devil roars, you realize that that's where that brother who used to be Joshua should begin to have to hold my break. It's the devil. He's shaking your confidence. So that attack you, and the moment the person shifted to try, and then he—that is why hell breaks on him. Are you there? Are you there, son? When he shows you all your colleagues who graduated with you now owning houses, that they own cars, and when they meet you, you are in trouble, and you are greeting them, and you are going to say, "The devil, look at this fool! Look at what your friends have achieved." Yeah. And you are here, look at what you are doing. You see, okay, maybe when you meet some of your colleagues and you rethink about what you are doing as a Christian. Magati, is that not true? You rethink. So this thing, where is he leading us? Where is he leading us? Oh, you don't know. It happened to Peter. He said, "Jesus, we've left everything, though." You see, before you came in as in Jesus, I owned ships. You see, that guy over there, I taught him how to do this business. Now look at everything. So you become you're not doing well. Oh, the most prosperous countries in the world right now, Christ is not there. If you take you are kicking Christ, you are kicking the kingdom out, and they are prospering. God. The world is not easy. The world you are facing, world of intimidation and fear. The devil will intimidate you and put fear in you. The fear of the devil, you be careful. Fear during the law. In the context, fear can rise to make believer doubt God's presence and help. You have not faced Sam before. So, it may sound like a story to you. But have you come to the point where you see somebody dying very dear to you? All you need is 5,000 cedis, and there is no help anywhere. Have you come to the point where all you needed was 2,000 cedis to deal with a problem that is making you sleepless, and nothing was coming? That's the time you realize that, you have to think twice. When those cold moments of your life comes, you are looking at it back. When you throw at the wall, it bounces back at you. Everything changes. That's the day you wake up. This thing that you have been saying, we should pray. We have been praying, you know. And we should fast. We have been fasting. You see, this thing we have been doing. What is left that I have not done? Now, is God indeed into the business of help? That is the day you forgot Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. No matter how, if somebody give you that scripture, it doesn't make sense to you. It's the devil roaring. It is the tactics of eliminating your competitor, shaking his confidence, letting him know that in what he trusts, there is no deliverance. David said, "They said unto me, it shall not deliver." In the book of Psalms, chapter 2. And they said, "Where shall deliver?" But I said, "Thou art my shield, the startup of it." I pray for you. He said, "Let me do that. There's nothing to do now. If you die, I have gotten to that point, he will leave you alone." So this one is a bad, leave him. And that's the point you see the glory of God coming through. We have all been there before. Some of us have seen it before. When my father fell sick. Yes. Prostate cancer. The man on me at that time could not deal with the whole situation. My father passed on. I remember when my big brother called me and told me that they made an inquiry at Confanoche, and they said, as at that time, they needed about 30,000 cedis because of where my father has gotten to. I don't know. I couldn't even pray. Oh, okay. Since I'm the one who have been through that life before, I don't know if you have been to a life where the problem is so strong that you forgot that there's something called prayer. You wake up, you forgot that prayer. The only thing you do is to listen to songs. Yes. That's the day that this song was meant so much to me. I'll be here worshiping all the days of my life. That song. Yes. Even if it is not easy, one provision. Now, let me survivor. When you become born again, one of the things that the devil will teach you is survivor. The obedi. See, that's why Hannah's in the used to eat in this restaurant and this restaurant. Now, even gari and sugar is by divine. It's boring. You will roar and make you feel like Philippians 4 verse 6 is not true. Yeah. Are you there? Last one. That is number 3, right? Number 4. Pressure from opposition. Persecution. This is where persecution comes in. So one of the ways the devil intimidates and creates fear, the war of fear and intimidation, is persecution. Serious one. Persecute the devil. People have lost family because they chose to serve God. People have lost their jobs because they decided to be Christians. It has happened to me before. When I completed SS and I was in Accra here because of the gospel, going to schools to preach, my brother knows the story. I slept in the church auditorium for 2 weeks without bathing, just to go to work, because somebody I was staying with sacked me from his house. Whilst I had a room in my father's house. But because of preaching of the word, taking books to school, reaching out. So Francis Kasamenko, they don't know what some of us we pay. The price we pay used to come to them. Then one day, there was camp. It was just like 3 days to vacation. I've done everything. I went to this school that I used to teach. And I told the owner that I am needed at the... We are going to Abono Mountains. I need to go because I was going with some group of students. And if I'm not with them, they cannot go. The woman looked at me and asked me, between the mountains and your job, choose one. I said, has it got into that? Okay. I just went to buy an A4 sheet, official paper, from the book. Wrote a resignation, signed and gave it to her. Even my salary, I didn't get it. I left. I came back, I don't know what I'll do next. I came back, one of my big brothers, did I mention some of these things? He's now late. May you so rest in peace. I came to stay with him at Kaswa. I told him, yeah. Then offer me a job, a petrol attendant, in 2013 thereabout. And this offer was that I work on Saturdays and Sundays at a salary of 300 cedis out of them. A very good salary. And I'm talking of total SHS because he had the links. I looked at him and told him that for my Sunday, hey, it will not work. This man looked at him and told him that you're not serious with life and I will never, ever in my life spend a kobo on you. I'm here. He told me that you will never make it in life. I'm here today. You see, there's a way God will prove to the devil. You see, if it was you, this is the person who provide roof for me. This is the person at that time could do anything to change my life. But was this stubbornness in me that told me that my life is not in your hand? You didn't know how I compared to you. The day he heard I had admission, you were shocked. I kept my from his son. Not even see they gave me. Last time I was with my wife. His boss who trained him was my father-in-law. I'm about my wedding, he didn't bother. We met at a shopping at Saru. Where car Francisca was in the car. Then I kept quiet. Then my father-in-law introduced me. That meet son-in-law. So it was then I told my father, that's my big brother. Yeah. There's pressure everywhere. There is pressure everywhere. Hey, I thought we were projecting the scripture for you. Let's read John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. What did the Bible say? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Listen, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good heart, cheer, I have overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Be of what? Good cheer. May the Lord cheer you up. Amen. I know what I'm saying is the story of some of you. But that is that we are involved in intimidation. The persecution of the believer is to intimidate him and put him, to stop him being a priest and a king. The last one. Thought of defeat or abandonment. The enemy suggests God has left you or that you have failed beyond recovery. The enemy suggests you that God has left you. You see, there's that roaring that as you move on in life, the devil will tell you that, do you know your... Sometimes something happens to you. You can lose somebody very precious to you. Today I will be sharing a lot of testimony. Let me say a lot. Some of you have to encourage you. Let me share your story. Okay, Elder Abi. Last year, before Trump came on the scene, Elder Abi is one of the people that is blessed with head. Don't compete with him. When we take pastors and elders exams, everybody knows that as for the first, it goes to him. So the elders, we don't compete. That is his field. Among us all, when we say somebody is academically gifted, easy. He does the work for those who are doing their masters, their project and everything. He has written a whole chemistry book. Somebody who teaches in the village and is able to produce A1 throughout chemistry. Give him 50 students. You work on them. You give them out to you. He's gifted. That is his area. Not only shoot your right hand. That shoot your right hand is it's a different thing. He's gifted academically. Before Trump came on the scene, listen to you. He had opportunity by the works he has done, his project and everything. A professor in US saw it. Extended an invitation to him and gave him admission. Everything was worked on. Everything. The fund released. Like by this time, my brother has bought a car for me. Elder Abi should have left Ghana last year. Everything was done. Then Trump came. He canceled everything. After these years of prayer, shoot your right hand. Praying. How will you feel? Let me ask you, how will you feel? Ujaya, sorry, Ache. Like by this time, you'll be here ministering to us. But he's here. It was the devil roaring. That you there is no recovery for you. But we know that God will take him there. Yeah. Let's be encouraging the Lord. We have an adversary who is roaring like a lion. Today I want you to pray that God help me to resist. When the Bible said resist the devil because of this. He will shake your confidence, but you have to be firm. Resistance means that nothing moves me. I take my stand here and I'm not moving. Are you holding on to that conviction that nothing will take you away from Christ? In help of the Holy Spirit. Now lift up your voice in a few minutes. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Say, Lord, in this war of intimidation and fear, help me. The Bible said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of sound mind and peace. Shanda sanda brasia. Oh, Rava labado sendele Messiah. Oh, labrason delevegeda Messiah. I want you to lift up your voice and pray. See, there are more roaring of the enemy coming in this last age. The devil is going to roar more than he has done before. The devil is going to do more than he used to do. There are many things that the enemy is going to come, is going to do against the church. Some of you, it will come to a point that a job you have labored in for 3, 4, 5 years, where you deserve promotion, they'll even sack you. You go back, they'll sack you. The devil will do anything. Sure, in the competitor is eliminated. We are dealing with a person who sees us as a pure competitor. By elimination, is a survivor. The devil throw more blows.
The devil will hit us more blows. But Jesus said, cheer, have cheer. For I have overcome the world. Though he slay us, in him we will trust. Therefore our enemies rejoice not in our downfall. For if we fall seven times, we shall rise. Levadina makapa. I don't know what the enemy has threw at you today. I don't know the roarings he has done against you. But I said you are recovering in the name of Jesus. Adepatala masukapaya. Ade no moko sende la basaya. Ishambra nakabahaya. I pray that you will walk in vigilance. You will not let the devil whispers. His whispers will shake you off. I said, lift up your voice and pray. Strength is coming unto you. I said, strength is coming unto you. Adele brasa kapaya. Strength is coming unto you. Mando bolo boshaya. Elavala gadala masanda. Strength is coming unto you. I pray for you right now. In this war of fear and intimidation, I said we have overcome. We will resist him until he flees. You see, when he comes with fear and intimidation, the only way he backs off is that we resist. So in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9, he said, when you resist the devil, he what? He will leave you. He said, don't worry, because these things, your other brothers have already suffered it. Oh, we will suffer persecution, but that will not kill us. I said, we will be persecuted, but that will not kill us. Oh, put your hand on your head. Say, Lord, I receive grace. I receive grace in this warfare. I will not back off. I will be a king and a priest. I will be a king and a priest. Shelevela bakadolo mosaya. Olomonde levesaya. Oh, shebrele bebebebebebe. Oh, randa kabasando si andele vasaya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to. You are my strength. You are my strength. Oh Lord, strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. You are my hope. One more time, you are my strength, oh Lord. You are my strength. Lord, you are my strength. No other. Strength like no other.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Oh.